I'm going to call upon Allison Howard from our political science department here at Dominican. Allison Howard, how are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you doing with the college convention, the whole college debate event? Tell me what you're thinking and what you're getting from it.
Oh, it's incredibly exciting just to see the energy, all of these students who are interested in working on campaigns, elections, democracy. They're so articulate. They're so passionate. It's really exciting to see so many young people who are showing just a tremendous amount of interest.
I think that it's really spectacular to be able to provide a platform for young people to have permission to talk about their inner thoughts, their feelings, but give them permission to be in that transitional moment from going to young people into adulthood, mm-hmm. and that they are valid in whatever it is that they're thinking and however they're acting.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I'm obviously for this event, we want students to go back to their home campuses and share with their friends and other students on their campus the experiences they've had here for learning to talk about issues, sharing their experience. But we also know that this will carry forward when they become workers and they go into the workforce. And when they're standing there with their colleagues and they're talking about things that they've done during college or things that they've done to get involved in their communities. And then that will, again, spur some interest with those people. And so this is something that will carry forward.
Right. This is civic investment.
Absolutely. And, it, you know, even if their coworkers didn't have these same types of experiences when they were either in college or just as a youth, they'll learn from these people who have had these formative experiences.
They'll be able to share that going forward. Mm-hmm. So Secretary of State Alex Padilla was talking about possible changes in the way that Californians may be able to vote, and giving a broader access to voting and hopefully raising the percentage of voters. And one of the things is automatic registration through the DMV.
That was the motor voter law. So that was passed in the early 90s. California has been doing that.
So then anyone who is automatically registered through the DMV gets the voter registration pamphlet and all of the information. He called that an invitation to democracy.
Yeah, that's a great way of putting it. And some states have same-day registration. Same-day registration is something that has been shown to really increase turnout. Obviously, you know, a lot of people do have driver's license or state IDs, and so they are registered to vote. But same-day registration is something that I think California might be moving to. It hasn't been implemented yet. It wasn't talked about so much here, but that is something that some other states have done, and that has definitely increased turnout.
This is exciting. There are a couple things that I want to touch on with you. One of the programs that you're heavily involved in when we're talking about registration is TurboVote. Mm-hmm. And so if we're getting automatic registration on the DMV level, TurboVote just brings it to the next level because you're not only registering to vote, but you're also getting more information than just the voter pamphlet. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, there are a couple things about TurboVote that are fantastic. One is the reminders. So you can get a text message, you can get an email, and everyone needs a reminder that an election is coming up. This is particularly important for college students who might be in school out of state. So if they are registered back home, they will get that reminder and they can get their absentee ballot. They can get it on time so that they'll be able to vote in that election. So I think having the reminders is one thing about TurboVote that's amazing. The other thing is that getting information, you know, general information about where you can turn to for info about voting and your local election.
Right. So one of the young speakers that stood up talked about how in her state, the spouse says, oh, I can't give you the information because I have to go and find out what my spouse says about how we're going to vote. And so it sounds like TurboVote is giving people more information. So you have a personal investment and you have personal information on how to cast your vote.
Absolutely. Yes. And again, they are reaching out to young voters in the way that young voters like to be contacted. So they're texting, they're emailing.
Great.
Well, emailing is probably passe, but they are texting.
Some sort of social media.
Yes.
So there are two things that I want to touch on before we go. And let's talk about social media. So this whole event is about engaging with social media to build relationships and have conversations. And that's going to be important. But one of the things that some of the students have talked about is a little bit of a distrust of the mainstream media. So maybe you can address that little piece. But then I was thinking of the concept of social media versus mainstream media or social media in partnership with mainstream media? How do you see those things having a relationship, and what do they mean?
I think young people use social media to learn about what the stories are. Those stories are coming from mainstream media. So they may see the story on Facebook, but that story is likely from mainstream media. So I'm not sure if there really is a true separation between social media and mainstream media. I think social media generates stories from mainstream media. Mainstream media is still very important. It's important because this is what our policymakers read. This is what our policymakers are looking to for the issues of the day. Editorial columns in the national newspaper set the agenda. They do. And I think the more students and everyone else can understand that being informed is one of the most important parts of being a participant in a democracy.
Right. And that relationship between social media and mainstream media is, where is the news coming from that's on mainstream media? And that's coming from social media, Twitter. It used to come from scanners. You're listening to scanners, yeah, and you're going on around. Mm-hmm. Someone says something, and this is happening in this area, and then you send the people, and then you report it back. So it does, you're right, it does, yeah, have a relationship together.
It has a very important relationship. Okay. And I think social media is really the disseminator. You know, it's really the way you see something now. Reporters have Twitter handles. But the question is, who's following that? You know, mm-hmm, is it other reporters? Is it, you know, an inside the beltway, as they say, type of instrument? Mm-hmm. Or are regular people following these news sources? Yeah. And so I think young people at an event like this can start to learn to disseminate and use sources to better inform and educate themselves and their friends and family.
So talking about following, what is it that you're following right now? If someone went in the mind of Allison Howard, what would you be following?
I read national media. I read the Chronicle of Higher Ed. I read a lot of learning and teaching columns.
Mm-hmm. What's the hot button issue for you right now? When you go into this next semester, you know, you do have the presidential election coming up. Is that what you're following?
It is, along with congressional elections. So okay. I'm teaching a campaigns and elections class, and our focus is going to be mostly on congressional elections, because I think in a presidential election year, a lot of people forget about Congress, but congressional elections are pretty important. Okay. And so,
if you could say one thing that you would like the students to really get out of this experience, the college convention, this is training, they're going to come back in September for the big convention. What do you want the students to get out of this training session? What do you want them to take back with them that they can do in their hometown?
I think the most important thing is to learn how to be thoughtful. Most of them already are. The fact that they're here shows that they care. I think learning how to be deliberate and really explain an issue and why it matters and why it's important. And at the end of the day, be factual. And I think, you know, a lot of today's media around this presidential election, facts are losing ground, and facts are important. And as that old saying goes, you know, a lie gets halfway around the world while the truth is putting its pants on. I think it's a very important thing to be a definite fact checker.
Thank you so much for visiting with us today here on Penguin Radio. Allison Howard, the chair of the Political Science Department here at Dominican.
Absolutely. Have a great day.
All right. Take care. This is DJ Noni here at Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu with College Convention.